formerly known as the Hello High Fat guy, Diet guy, and then there was the Teotihuacan Channel guy, and 72-hour Bug Out Challenge guy, and the Sovereign State Project guy. And over all of those 8 years or more, I've really come to the conclusion that, and don't take this the wrong way, but I've come to the conclusion that just most people don't care. And I think the thing that has me the most upset or depressed is apathy. And what I mean by that is not my apathy toward stuff, even though I'm very apathetic about everything. Pessimistic would be the word. It's just that nobody cares. And they don't even care to look at it and go, maybe I should care. Because they're just too apathetic to even look past their 90-inch TV and see what's going on outside the world, or driving their car, going to meetings. They're, you know, soul-sucking careers. And it's sad because America was never set up to be that way. Yet it has become that way. And I could paint with a broad brush and say, well, it's because, you know, they've overtaxed us and inflated our money, and so now we have to work 2-3 times as hard, which is true. But the reality is, it's just, there's too much shit going on in the world and too much information out there about the world. And so when you tell people about, you know, the problems in America, that's kind of like a federal government thing. And everybody's like, yeah, but what are you going to do about it? And it's like, oh, I know. Here's an idea. We could fucking vote. Not going to help. Excuse me. And then if you go to a state level, which is really where it should be at, you know, fuck the feds. They're just a property management company that hires a military once in a while when the property that they manage is being fucked with. And then the states, well, they don't care anymore. You know, they would like to pretend they do so they can get reelected. But, you know, congressmen and Senate, they don't give a shit. That's why they've set it up the way it's set up. I mean, whoever thought that electing a senator would be a good idea? Fuck, if you give them term limits, they're already in there longer than they need to be. With one term, you know, if you say, well, let's keep it tied to like the House of, you know, Representatives, you know, every 2 years, well, that would make a little sense because Congress and the Senate are the same body. They're the House. And then you have the judicial branch, which is the courts, and then the executive, which is the president, or the presidency. So maybe, you know, every 2 years for senator, but they've kind of designed it this way to where we can all just sit there and go, wow, what a clusterfuck. So the other day, my wife was at softball practice because it's getting nice out. And she took some pictures of the field, which is kind of has this leprosy look to it. You know, it's got these weird, circular, weird, dingy spots and stuff. And so she posted it on, you know, the city or the, you know, chit chat or whatever the fuck. You know, I try to stay off of Facebook as much as possible. And so some people were like, yeah, it's a real crying shame. You know, somebody should need, you know, fix that and all that. And then somebody said, well, if you care so much, why don't you do something about it? So my wife being, you know, my wife, she's like, no, that's why we pay taxes. And then somebody else is like, well, maybe we should do this. And then one of the gals that are always playing softball since she was a fucking kid in town, you know, said that I'm really just grateful we have a softball field. And so the conversation went into areas that didn't matter and should never matter. It's like, yes, we're all grateful we have softball field. Hell, I'm grateful we have roads. Doesn't mean I can't bitch about the fucking potholes because, you know, we pay government agencies to take care of that. You know, so why should we go out and have a, you know, a fundraiser and a cookie sale to give the city more of my money to take care of the parks that they own? That is public property, meaning the city owns that. We as taxpayers kind of own it, but we're not responsible for it. And I guarantee fucking to you, if I took some of the chemicals I use out to the park and started spraying it on the ground to get some nitrogen in there and some stuff like that, I would probably be arrested for destruction of public property. You know, because the APA would not want me doing this and that and the other thing, right? I mean, it just makes sense. So it's kind of a mess. And then everybody was like, well, let's do this and let's do that. So I told my wife, I said, you know what, you ought to respond back and say, well, when you get together something that we can all pitch into, let me know and maybe I'll help out. Because you know they're not going to. Because all the comments were like, well, you should, the city should, everybody should, you know, you should be thankful, you should go help them pick weeds or whatever. And that's not the way it's set up in America. I don't have to do that. You know, I'm busy taking care of my shit. And we have a city charter that gives them the responsibility to take care of it because they have the authority to have that. See, so with authority to have a park and grass and baseball diamonds, you know, gives them responsibility to take care of it. You take my money, you better use it wisely. But they don't like hearing that and stuff. So once again, it just went down to, you know, a rabbit hole of, oh, why don't we do this and that? And somebody said, well, you know, the golf course looks really nice. And they're like, yeah, but they hired Troon to take care of it. It's like, okay, what does that have to do anything? It's not, we're not in a drought like a few other people had said. You know, well, it's because we're in a drought. Well, then why does the golf course look so fucking pristine? Oh, because, see, that's important to them. That's like their little crowned achievement, you know, that we have a golf course. And we were losing so much fucking money because bad management, once again. We subbed it out to Troon. So instead of being $150,000 in the red every year with a golf course, we're now almost $1 million in the red because now we have Troon. Yes, the golf courses look great. So maybe they should hire Troon to take care of the baseball fucking diamonds also. And then my wife posted, she goes, well, you know, if they're having trouble with money and budget and maybe being able to afford a good parks and service guy or gal, why did they spend almost $1 million on a water slide? Or not a water slide, was it a splash pad? And then somebody said, well, that was grant money. So my wife, knowing politics, said, well, it was a $1 million grant to build the splash pad, which means that the city had to match the funds. So if the whole splash pad was $1 million, the grant paid $500,000 and the city paid $500,000. But I'm thinking it was $1 million in grant and $1 million in, you know, the city. So it's like, why do we need a fucking splash pad? And a lot of people, you know, are like, oh, well, you know, my kids really like it and I got little kids and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, that's cute, but I didn't have a splash pad when I was growing up, and I ended up fine. In fact, we went through maybe a slip and slide every summer because we'd play with it so much we'd wear it out and get holes in it. You know, so buy your fucking kids a slip and slide and a couple whirly things and put it in your yard, and then there. Well, of course, people don't have yards, but if they did. So I'm, you know, looking at it like, I would say that based on the participation in sports in the community, that over 90% of the people within the city use those soccer fields and baseball diamonds and all that. We have two really nice, you know, one of them has a scoreboard, which was donated by somebody that had money because the city was, once again, too fucking broke for that. And so we have two really nice diamonds, one with the snack thing and a scoreboard, and then just another nice one, and then three big soccer fields, and one of them can be used also as a baseball diamond or a soccer field. So the whole community uses that, you know, pretty standard that everyone's there and using it every fucking day, you know, during the summer. A splash pad, not so much. So why didn't they take $1 million and hire a landscaper? Oh, that'd be fucking awesome, wouldn't it? No, but they don't. So it's all on city management again. And then everybody's like, well, you know, as a community, we should, you know, sell cookies or whatever. It's like, no, that's not how it works in a city. You take taxes, sales tax on groceries and everything and whatever you do, and run the city. Your responsibility is a fire department, a police department, maybe parks. If you're, you know, I think even Andy and Mayberry had a park, and then water and sewer, which could be private, I'm just saying, and then gas, because this city has the gas lines. So, you know, they have a few things that they're not supposed to really have, or it could be privatized, but maybe the town was too small, so they didn't do that. And then an airport, municipal airport, which is not also part of their charter. So when you really look at it, the government, the state says, okay, you want to be a city and you want to incorporate. Here's what you must do. Roads and you know, sidewalks, and take care of your park, and provide water and sewer and all that. And then it's like, okay. But you don't need a fucking airport and self-service air, you know, gas for the airplanes, and a golf course, and then managing the golf course. So it seems like of the 10 things that I would give my city, maybe an authority to run, would be normal for any city, any size. They might have parks. They have like 200 parks because it's New York. Our city has one park. But there's still only 10, 12 things that are really mandatory within constitutional law and incorporating a city. And then of those 10 things, each one of them has to have maybe 10 more auxiliary things, which is what it seems like. Well, we have parks, but then, you know, we have, you know, the government and the EPA, and they're telling us how to manage it. So we got to have a liaison between, and it just becomes fucked up, which is once again by design. So nobody seems to give a shit anymore. And it's very, you know, like when I was doing nutrition on the internet, I had a website called Hello High Fat Diet. And I'd read, you know, Leninger's Biochemistry, you know, 101, and all this stuff on food. And so I had as much lecture time as anybody that would become a nutritionalist, but I just didn't go to school for it. So when you'd be talking to one of your friends about diabetes and maybe changing the diet, maybe it worked for me, blah, 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 then they would always default back to, you're not a doctor. My doctor says this. And it's like, okay. So then I kind of quit doing that because I was getting yelled at for trying to fucking care about people. So it's just like, you know what? I'm fine. My health is great. I'm 70 years old this year, and I still take no medications. I got great blood pressure. Everything's fine. And someday I might die, and that would be fucking great. But for now, I'm fine. I'm fucking healthy. So whatever. And I quit doing that, and I canceled that website and all the bullshit that went with it and the email lists and marketing and all that crap. And it's like, you know what? Fuck all of you. Die of diabetes. See if I care. I didn't say that, but I thought that. And so the same goes with, you know, everybody. We were all watching, you know, like a ton of friends on my groups and stuff were watching Alone. And when it first came out, that series where they just drop you off in Canada somewhere and you just have to survive with you and a bunch of camera equipment. And then the one that stays the longest wins. So you've probably seen it. And the same with Naked and Afraid. And we were all watching them, I mean, you know, chit-chatting on all the groups and forums and stuff like that. And I everybody's like, man, I wish I could get on there. You know, and I told them, I said, well, the first two shows I watched of Alone, you know, in season one, I went online and I applied because I thought this looks really cool. And they said, well, we're already shooting for season two and we've already picked the contestants for season three. And I was like, okay, this is never going to happen. I don't know what list they're drawing from, but I'm obviously not on it. So I said, well, keep me in mind for season four or five or six or whatever. Never heard back from them. So everybody's like, oh, it's so hard to get onto it. And I go, yeah, I know, I tried. And I said, well, you know, and so I got this idea. I said, well, why don't we just do it, all of us, you know, like you go out, you know, like on a weekend, like a bug out, and you film yourself and you film your kids and you kind of, it's like a modified, you know, Naked and Afraid and Alone, where you just go out there and film, you're just like, pretend that the world has come to an end and you and your kids and everybody had to leave and go hunker down, and then just film it, like making fires and all that. And you know, so it's called the bug out challenge, the 72-hour bug out challenge. And everybody say, oh, that's great. So I built a website, got all the training materials put together. I got like two or three companies that were going to, you know, give the winner and the second and third place really cool prizes and stuff, put all that together, and nothing but motherfucking crickets. Oh, I'm really busy, Mark. I don't have time for that. It's like, oh my God, this doesn't, you know, have to be that great. I don't know if any of you have ever listened to the book series by, what's it, Joe American, I think, or something like that. And the first one was so poorly recorded that it was like a speak and spell, you know, that horrible. The narrator repeated lines. He started over again and then went, oh, sorry. And it was, you know what was, you know, everybody was like, I hate this book. But I got through it and I thought, you know, if you were really, because it's written like a diary kind of thing. And I can't remember the name of the series. I think it's Joe American or A American. The first book was just fucking heinous. So I thought to myself, if this was me and the world had ended kind of like in that movie, you know, Eli, Book of Eli with Denzel Washington, and there's just so many, like The Road and all that. If you were trying to keep a diary on cassette or whatever you had or your phone or something, it would be really poorly done. You know, you might get shot at or something and then start over. Where was I? And stuff. And you would, and so I thought, I'm going to listen to it like this is a real thing that someone found, some guy surviving the apocalypse that now is like 50 years later. And I'm listening to it and parts of it are like a one recording device and then the rest of it's on another recording device and then, a speak and spell or whatever, some kind of reprogrammed speak and spell where he can pull the string and then go, and so I ran to the mountain and then I got shot at and then pulled the string again. But he missed. And so I was able to get down and around him. And then, you know, and then once I listened to it that way, I thought, this is fucking awesome. You know, this is so real to life. It's unreal if you can get past the poor reading and the grammar. But then if that was me, it would be as bad as this podcast and all my other ones. It's really bad, rambling bullshit. So I tried to tell people with the, 72-hour bug out challenge, it's like, don't worry about it. You know, you're going to put it on your channel. You're going to share it with all your friends. We're going to track the statistics of it and everything. And we're going to try to the best of our ability to pick out who got the most watches, unique watches from start to finish. And then you'll get a prize. You get, one of them is like really expensive prize that some company said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. We'll donate this to the winner. And once again, crickets, like, well, whatever. And that's fine. So I canceled that. And then I've been doing DIY things and, I kind of cancel that, once in a while. But it's becoming to the point in my life, like I said, I'm almost 70, that doing these things is time consuming and then editing them. That's why I've been doing these live ones and I might still do them just because it's pretty easy to plug in a microphone and just start talking live. I don't have to do post-processing and all that shit. just listen or don't. That's fine. And if I fuck up and cough or make a mistake or get interrupted, oh, that's life. It's called live for a reason. You know, if we were talking in the park and one of my customers walked up to me and go, "Hey, Mark, come open this store for me so I can give you money," I would say, "See you later. I got to go make some money." So I look at it totally different, you know, as far as, I mean, being professional, because that's the farthest thing from my mind is being professional. So it's kind of getting tough to do a lot of things. So I think, and as many times as I've tried to cancel my one website, Prepper Guy, because I've had that like eight, almost 9 years, I think, I can't remember. You could go on there, prepperguy.com, look up the first story or the first article when it was published. That was like, I got it running and I posted a post. So I think it's close to 8 years or something like that. Maybe longer, maybe less. So I keep, you know, wanting to just close it all down and walk away so I can do other things with my time. Yet it's kind of like, you know, selling your favorite first car or something like that. It's just like, oh, I can't. You know, I closed all the other ones. I still have a couple other ones. And I'm just thinking, I just don't care anymore. So many times I've stopped podcasting and for 6 months, and then I come back and, you know, I go on sabbatical and I get upset, and then I come back from my sabbatical all wise from speaking to the man on the high mountain. But now I just, it's a different mindset with me. I just don't give a fuck. I'm tired of seeing people not care. You know, I was going to run for city government. That got all fucked up and got sued. And so it's just, and then everybody's like, "Well, Mark, why don't you fight them?" And it's like, well, I fought the city for 2.5 years on just private property rights. And nobody would even call me and go, "Good job, Mark. Here's $10. Let me buy you a coffee." Nothing. You know, I know I've worked for probably 10 lawyers in this area in Cochise County, and I've carpeted and done work in their homes. I've talked to judges and justices of the peace, and they all know me because I, you know, talk to them about things that are important and stuff. None of them called and said, "Hey, you know, I quit being a judge for the Superior Court, and now I'm just a lawyer, and I would like to take this up. I think what you're doing is a good thing. Private property rights are more important than pretty much anything other than your Second Amendment right. And really, you can't own a gun if they can take your property, because a gun is property." Nobody but me and my wife stood there and kicked against the pricks for 2.5 years. I had to do it myself because we were adding on to our house, which cost us a shit ton of money anyway. And we did all the work ourselves. And so I couldn't afford a lawyer, so we just, you know, we just kept fighting it out and stuff. And once I got to the point where I realized that they can't eat me, and there's nothing more than they can do than find me and make me get a permit, well, then it's like, I'll just fight them for 2 years. What the hell? It's kind of entertaining. So I did. So that's kind of where I'm at. And then I was, you know, while talking to my wife this morning about that post with the park and the dying grass, you know, somehow, because we've known each other 30 some years, it turned into an argument, because I was trying to make a point. I wasn't talking shit about her post or getting involved or any of that. I was just going to say, you know, more people need to do that, because a lot of people go, "Why does your wife shit where she eats? She makes a lot of enemies talking on Facebook bashing the city." And so I was going to say, you know, that thread that you just read to me this morning, and then it just kind of went off, and I don't know if she thought I was attacking her or what, but it turned into just a fucking horrible disagreement, fight, yell thing. And it went from all I was trying to do, babe, was tell you, you know, more people need to be that way. Pat on the back. You're doing the right thing. Maybe tone down the hate sometimes. But we always talk about it before she posts things. So it's like, oh, that'd be cool. You know, when she answers a reply or a comment, you know, I try to get her to not be a hater and just go, well, why don't we, you know, why don't you do that? You know, that's a great idea. And so I wasn't trying to be a dick at all. And it turned into a shit show that ended up going down some roads that I wasn't happy about communication skills and stuff like that. And I just decided, you know what? Honestly, for 8 years I've been podcasting, and I think when I first started, I was getting a couple thousand downloads a month, but that was years ago. Now everybody and their dog has a fucking podcast, so I'm not going to compete with that anymore. And so I just thought, you know, 200-300 a month, or 100 on a good episode. It's just like, yeah, you know, maybe I really don't have that much to say, because what I have in my head makes a lot of sense. And when I hear somebody say it, like Tucker Carlson or somebody, I go, God, that's exactly what I was trying to say the other day, but I can't articulate it. And after going, you know, like I had to drive for an hour to get to my first appointment, and, you know, I'd calm down a little bit, and then I came home and I said, you know, washed my truck and tried to calm down some more. And it just kind of hit me. It was like, Mark, you, like everybody else, don't really want to fucking listen to anything. They don't want to listen to you rant for an hour. Your wife doesn't even want to hear your input because you're so philosophical that you go down these roads trying to make a point. And she's just not one of those people that like that type of conversation. She's just like a, you know, I hate to say it, but a talking point, bumper sticker kind of conversationalist. Unless it affects her, then she wants to talk all day about it. So I was just like, I am so done with this. And I started this live stream just now because I was just going to sit down on the computer and delete everything and get my life back. You know, I've already only go on Facebook once every couple weeks. And usually I'll be on Facebook to talk to the guy, my barber, and say, hey, got an appointment. He's like, yeah, how about tomorrow at noon? And that's it. That's a fucking about it. And then I might post something that I think is kind of important to those that read. And then I don't respond back to most of them because they're just like, it's like a high school locker room, really. I'm sorry, but like Trump said, it's locker room talk. Unfortunately, our whole nation is that way now. And so, you know, I made a comment about Israel and Palestine, and then got a couple of responses, and I responded back, and then that was that. I'm done with that because I'm not the smartest guy in the room. But I know how to read. I know how to fucking Google. So that's kind of where that ended up, you know, with my wife. It's just a shit show argument. And then the whole coming to the conclusion that not only do I probably not have anything to say, which is probably what a lot of podcasters need to start doing because there's a couple million of them now. Do you have a message that kind of helps in some way? Are you a self-help psychologist or counselor? You know, do you think you can help families with abusive or alcoholic parents or whatever? Is then do that. You know, but if you just want to talk about the same thing that 500 other news people are talking about, then you're just a voice in the wind, and who the fuck cares, Mark? You're not that important, and you're definitely not that smart. Highly educated, but so the fuck what? So that's where I'm at today. I'm really kind of depressed, and I took the long scenic way home and went up through Middle March Road and stuff, and I was gonna just try to do a little bit of recording there, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. It's become problematic for me, you know, and a lot of it is because I'm old and I've become a curmudgeon and cantankerous and I fucking hate everybody, you know. So if, you know, if people are going to start a podcast, then talk about important things. there's hundreds of podcasts, probably hundreds of thousands of podcasts that are out there saying the wrong thing. Just like Tucker Carlson calling this a democracy. We are not. And if you're going to peddle that shit, then I'm going to tune out. I'm going to cancel my subscription to you. You know what? And just, I can get you for free a day later on YouTube. Fuck you. You know, so people need to talk about the important things. And the important things in this country now is reading the Constitution. It's not that long. It's 3,600 words. And it's written in, you know, old English. So fuck. If you can read the Bible, which is probably 135,000 words or whatever, then you can read the Constitution. You know, it's just 3,500 words. And when you get to a word that you read it and you're like, shit, this is complicated, you can go over to the Federalist Papers and look at what that meant. And I talked to so many people. Well, you know, in the Bible, it says this. So I looked it up in Hebrew, and then I looked it up in Latin and Greek. And what the real meaning is this, and the symbolism of that is this. And then I had to go read five more books and talk to, you know, Reverend Hagee or whoever the fuck it was. So it's not that fucking hard to do, you know. No, FedEx is driving through. Got my dog barking. I don't know if you can hear that. So you come across a word in the Constitution, look it up. What does that mean? Use it in a sentence. Look up Black's Law. You know, that you can buy a Black's Law first edition book on, you know, it's a dictionary on things. And you can look it up, see how it's used legally. And then you're all set, you know, and then just go to the next thing and read it. Just like the Bible, read a page a day or, you know, a section a day, really analyze it. You know, don't go, what did God or Jesus mean about it? What did your founding fathers mean about that? Because I'll tell you what, you can be a Bible scholar all you want, and you can pray 24/7. And if you get shit leadership, you know what's going to happen? They're going to take your church and put you in jail, just like they did during COVID, just like they're doing in Ukraine with the Orthodox Catholic churches. And yet everybody's like, yeah, but Ukraine is a democracy. No, it's not. And if it was a democracy, then why are they taking over churches and robbing them and throwing the Orthodox priest in jail? If you're a democracy, who cares if, you know, Russians are Orthodox. And so therefore, if you're Orthodox, you're a Russian. It's like, oh, okay. So, you know, the first Crusades killed Jews, not Muslims. Jews. So I guess if you were a Catholic, did that mean you should seize all the Catholic churches and take all their shit because they killed Jews at one time? You know, it's fucking history. They're not them people, you know, look it up and read it. So my point is, if you don't know the law and the Constitution and what rights you really have and start fighting for those rights, you won't have freedom of religion. You won't have a Second Amendment. You will not have the right to private property or ownership of properties or wedding rings or businesses or money or anything, just like they've done in every communist country that's ever popped up. So why wouldn't you take 1 week out of 52 and read the Constitution and study it? You know, that's about how long it would take somebody to read 3,500 words in the Bible, like a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then go to church a couple times and ask your pastor. And then you got that chapter figured out. Do that with the Constitution. Look it up. Read it. Read some of the Federalist Papers. Go on to, you know, Goldwater Institute and see what they're saying about some of these current issues. All these other, you know, Hillsdale College, whatever. Anything is better than just total ignorance and bliss, you know, because you can read the Bible all you want, and what you'll end up with is about 5,000 churches to look at, because that's how many there are. So reading the Bible is very abstract. The Constitution applies to your life right fucking now. and the Supreme Court and the House and the presidency is totally up for grabs with these lobbyists and stuff like that. You were losing your freedom and your liberty so fucking fast that if you were watching your house flood, it's probably flooding an inch a day. And you can't bail the fucking water out. You just can't. So you better get it together, because pretty soon you're going to be up on the roof hoping a helicopter comes and gets you. And you won't have any guns. You won't have freedom of speech. You won't have your own church. They shut it down during COVID. They left the bars and the liquor stores and the strip joints and everything open during COVID, but don't go to church. So your government is interfering with your freedom of religion. So if you love God and you want to continue to read that Bible, whichever one it is, whether it's a Torah, a Quran, or the Bible, or whatever else is out there, then you better get involved politically. But that's why I'm at this point right now. No one fucking cares. People that listen to this, let's say that this podcast goes out, and since it might be my last one I ever do because I'm so mad, let's say the word gets out and it gets shared and thumbs up or whatever it does on Podbeam, and 1,000 people listen to it. The statistical rate is one person will go, I'm going to read the Constitution again. Everyone else will go, that was a really good point. You should do something about it, Mark. No, you, whoever you are, should do something about it. All 1,000 people should do something about it. And I'm not talking about voting, the most useless fucking thing you can do. You need to get out there and get active. And we've seen it in every other community. Our country is going down the toilet because of all these special interests. So don't say you can't reverse course and go the other way with special interests. But these special interest groups, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. The Constitution is fucking so easy, a caveman could read it and understand it. It's not even as complicated as the Bible. It's 10 fucking times easier to read. Because you have like the First Amendment. Thou shalt not infringe on the press and religion. Oh, well, that's the 10 Commandments. I get that. I understand. What does shall not mean? Oh, same thing it meant in the Bible. Don't fucking do it. It's wrong and you can't. You literally can't. But in the Bible, you can, like Bill Clinton, you know, and have sex with another woman and say it wasn't sex, and you know, and then you get away with it. But when it comes, because that's biblical shit. But when, you know, he dies, then someone will go, yep, you blew it. I don't care what you said. You blew it, dude. You bastardized that one. But in the Constitution, when it says shall not be infringed, what that means in a decent fucking court of law in your state means they can't do anything about it. They can't even tell you kids can't buy a fucking gun. It might put an age limit on it, which is really kind of pushing it there also. But the reality, they can't. Shall not means don't fuck with this. It's like, well, what if people kill each other? Well, fine, then put them in jail for murder and shut the fuck up, but do not infringe on my right to bear arms. My freedom of press, property, life, liberty, illegal search and seizure can't be done. Just, it cannot, I can't stress it enough. It cannot be done. Can you walk on water? No, you can't. So if the Constitution said, thou shalt not, it's the same thing. You're not going to be able to do it even if you think you're all cool like Jesus and you can walk on water. It will not fucking happen. So that's what it means. Shall not be infringed. For lawmakers, that's like walking on water. You're just not going to be able to do it. So just stop fucking talking about it and wasting my time. So that's where we're at as a nation. Our courts are disasters. And everybody's like, but the Supreme Court ruling, it's like, first of all, let me clue you in here. The Supreme Court does not make rulings. They don't make law. What they do is issue opinions. So normally what we used to happen back in the good old days, like 70, 80 years ago, some state would do something totally fucking stupid. Let's take abortion and sit there and go, well, we don't care if you abort that fetus at 3 weeks or 3 years old. Then it would go to the Supreme Court and the federal government would say, in our opinion, what you're doing is unconstitutional. Oh, okay. Now, what that would normally mean is you couldn't do it because it's now void and repugnant, but nobody cares about that. Repugnant. What does that even mean? So if we don't start paying attention and getting involved the right way with the right messages, and once you read the Constitution, you'll see, once you abolish the 17th Amendment, you'll see that all of these special interests wouldn't exist if we were following the fucking Constitution. You wouldn't have all these fucking little micro meetings and grassroots things and fucking riots and, you know, protests and stuff, because you would be following the Constitution, which is so fucking simple. It eliminates every problem in your life except a few. And you can deal with that at home with your family. So that would be my big plan. And I think I've said this enough times to where I'm kind of done with it. And, you know, I was doing DIY things and stuff like that, but I'm kind of done with all that. Now I just need to build a trailer. And that's that. So I don't know what to tell anybody about anything other than, well, we're kind of fucked. Maybe, well, we are fucked. So for me and my house, I'm going to follow my conscience and stop worrying about everybody else. The one thing, if I'm going to take anything away from the Bible that may be the most truth I've ever heard, be in the world, but not of the world. Well, I'm here. I'm in it. But I'm not going to get all involved where I become part of the world, part of the problem, part of the solution, part of the payment structure. I'm just here. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to start smiling again. Maybe I'll be able to have a decent conversation with my wife without pissing her off because I'm so fucking negative about shit, and just be happy. So I don't know how to wrap it up other than, you know, hope you guys have gotten something out of this. And there's 8 years of podcasts out there, Apple, everywhere, by the Prepper Guy. You can listen to them or not. But I know that I don't say a lot of important things. And if you listen to all those 200-300 podcasts, you might get a good conversation for a week from different subjects. And that's about it. So I've done my part. That's all I can do. So I'm going to let you guys all go. And I know I just came back online, but I think I'm going to bug out and call it quits and be happy. I'm fucking 70 years old. I got a lot of things I want to do. And I'm getting slower at doing them. So, like I say, I might keep the live things going because that keeps my podcast account open and you can find things. And then I might keep some of my websites, but I doubt it. I think I'm giving up on all my websites. And people go, where can I hear what you have to say? I say, go to Podbeam. So take care. Love you. Bye-bye.